his love divine. Now they brought him from the realms of glory, just to save a sinful soul like mine. Isn't the love of Jesus something wonderful, wonderful, wonderful? Oh, isn't the love of Jesus something wonderful, wonderful it is to me. Endless as the universe around me, reaching to the farthest soul away. Saving, keeping, loving ones that found me. That is why my heart can truly say, isn't the love of Jesus something wonderful, wonderful, wonderful? Oh, isn't the love of Jesus something wonderful, wonderful it is to me. Love beyond our human comprehending, love of God in Christ, how can it be? This will be my theme and never ending, great redeeming love of Calvary. Love of Jesus, something wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Oh, isn't the love of Jesus something wonderful, wonderful it is to me.
Amen. Let me invite you over to the Gospel of John this morning, chapter 3, verse 5. The Gospel of John, chapter 3, verse 5. All right, John chapter 3, verse 5 reads this way. It says, Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne this morning, once again asking for your blessings and, Lord, for the leadership of your Holy Spirit to guide our hearts and minds to hear from you and to worship you in spirit and in truth, Lord, that you might be highly exalted and lifted up, and that each one would be drawn closer to you and strengthened in the faith and grace that you've given to us to be the witnesses, Lord, that you've called us to be. And then, Lord, if there's one or more than one that may not have the assurance of eternal life, may you open up their understanding to receive you even today as their personal Savior. Lord, again, may everything said and done honor and glorify you. And we'll be careful to give you all the praise, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message this morning is Born of Water and of the Spirit. Born of Water and of the Spirit. This is incredibly important and maybe oftentimes misunderstood concerning eternal life. A lot of times people think, well, I'll just turn over a new leaf. You ever heard that one? I've turned over a new leaf in my life. I don't know what that means. You know, is that another page in their life? But listen, when God saves somebody, he changes their life. And he brings life, eternal life, into that soul, into that living soul. As you look at the Old Testament book of the book of Genesis, you'll find out that God referred to people as living souls. God sees more than just the temporal. Listen, believe it or not, God sees the unborn as a living soul. They've been purposed and created for the honor and glory of God, even though the world and the lost mankind may not understand that. God has a purpose for every soul, beginning with his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. So it's important. Yes, born of water typifies and signifies the physical birth, but then it says, and of the Spirit, and that word Spirit is capitalized, which means it is the Holy Spirit that brings life into the individual. So this morning we want to take a few moments and look at Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This is important because he was a man who was learned in the scriptures, and yet Jesus is the one that is telling him that he must be born of water and of the Spirit. So he obviously misunderstood something. And then what born of the Spirit really means, which is the second birth, or we call it being born again, and the world says, oh, you're one of those. You're one of them born agains. Well, they don't understand what it means. And so they mock things that they don't understand. And listen, they'll miss out the greatest gift that's ever been given to mankind is being born again by the Spirit of God. And then this question is asked by Nicodemus, how can these things be? That's a good question to ask. How can these things be? Because God wants to answer those questions for you and I, even this morning, but to the whole world. So we want to consider these things. Let's back up to verse 1. And let's notice Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. Now, Pharisees were very learned individuals. And oftentimes by the age of 5, they had already memorized the first 5 books of the Bible. There was a lot of effort and education that was put into them. That seems kind of hard to believe, doesn't it? 5 years old, these people were very fluent in the understanding, at least in the memorization, of the first 5 books of the Bible. Do you think they talked of them often? Absolutely. But even in that, much can be missed. In fact, everything can be missed if the Son of God is missed. And so we find here that he was, the Bible, the Word of God, is making sure that we understood that he was a Pharisee of the Jews. He was an educated individual. His name was Nicodemus. Not only that, but he was a ruler of the Jews. He wasn't just a person in the class of a Pharisee. He was an exalted individual that he could even rule out in this sect of the Jews called the Pharisees, the religious leader. And so we find verse 2, it says, the same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi. This is important because the Pharisees looked at themselves as the elite. The Pharisees looked at themselves as the highest educated individuals. And so it means a lot that Nicodemus is looking to the Lord and calling him Rabbi, which is positioning him really in a higher place than himself. He wasn't, listen, and by the way, remember this, Jesus was only about 33 years old, right? 30 years old. And so here we have a young man being addressed, no doubt, by a Pharisee who's a ruler of the Jews. Some time has been spent in that. And so he's probably older than the Lord Jesus Christ, and he's calling him Rabbi. That's a position of honor. And by the way, listen, that means that Nicodemus knew something was missing in his life that this young rabbi could give to him or supply for him. You know, listen, you and I also must come to that same place to where we realize there is something that the rabbi, the Lord Jesus Christ, can give to you and I. Not just once in our lifetime, but something that we need on a daily basis to experience in our life every day, or it's easily missed, and we get caught up in life, and we miss God. May I remind you, today is July the 10th. What happened to June, and we're almost approaching halfway point of July, if we're not careful, we'll blink, and fall will be upon us. What does that mean? Life is moving quickly, is it not? I don't understand it, but I remember being a young kid, it seemed like Christmas break was forever and never coming, right? And now we just blink, my goodness, and the weeks are just like days. May we give heed to the Word of God that is eternal and not get caught up in the hubbub of everything that's taking place that has nothing to do with what life really is all about. We might think that the politicians has everything to do with life and they might have some influence in on it. But without Jesus Christ, it's null and void. It's nothing. We might look to all different kinds of things that we might think life is really all about. But really, life is found alone in the Lord Jesus Christ. Without it, it's just a mere existence. And so we find this Pharisee Nicodemus coming to the Lord by night and says unto him, Rabbi, we know thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Man, if he didn't pay him the highest compliment that he could have paid him, he says, I want you to know something. I see God in you. I know this. Here's what he's saying. God is with you. I wonder if anybody ever said that to him. But Nicodemus today, at that day, is saying to the Lord, we know that unless God was with you, this couldn't take place. And you know what? Let me ask you this.
is he on target? Yeah, he is. Wait, listen. He's a lost man, and he is seeing something different in the Lord Jesus Christ. May I tell you something? The lost mankind can see the Spirit of God, and every believer has been indwelt with the Spirit of God. The problem today is he's buried in our lives and not being seen. And so if Jesus said, if I be lifted up, not just on the cross, but in our lives, he says, I, not us, I will draw all men unto myself. So maybe there's a problem with the Lord not being lifted up in this day and age in which we look around. Listen, I appreciate your attendance this morning and your attention, but God wants to meet with you and I this morning. God wants to direct our hearts and minds to walk with him that we might experience the grace of God that truly changes our life. And so here he is with this Pharisee named Nicodemus, and he says, we know that you're a teacher come from God. Verse 2, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Now, how did Jesus, remember, this is a ruler of the Jews, and he has seen something in the Lord Jesus Christ that no doubt he's never seen in anyone else. Is that not true? No one else had what Jesus had because he is the Son of God. And so he sees something in him. And I want you to see how the Lord saw what Nicodemus. Listen, this is not a slam on Nicodemus. This is the Lord acknowledging that he has opened up and in tune to receiving the truth. So the Lord begins to tell him the truth. Notice this. Jesus, verse 3, answered and said unto him, verily, verily, which can be rendered truly, truly, I say unto everybody that's around, I say unto your mother and father. No, he says, I say unto who? Thee. He's speaking directly to the Lord, to Nicodemus. I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, listen, this is news to Nicodemus. If anybody would have thought they were in the kingdom of God, do you think it might be Nicodemus? I mean, my goodness, he'd memorized the scriptures. I mean, my goodness, he had dedicated himself to be part of the Pharisees. And not only that, but he excelled and was elevated to be a ruler of the Jews. I think he knew, or he thought he knew, the Word of God. I think he knew the Word of God to a certain extent. He just didn't know the God of the Bible. See, there's a lot of people that know, they think the Word of God, but they don't know the God of the Word of God. And so they miss out. And so here's Nicodemus, and the Lord is giving him this answer, and you know, no doubt this is news to him. What are you talking about? Verse 4, Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Now listen, we look at that and we say, well, of course not. But may I ask you something? Was he not asking a genuine question? Do you think Nicodemus was playing around? Listen, Nicodemus, listen, did Nicodemus take Jesus seriously? He would have never paid him that compliment. Listen, he had to humble himself to say, God's with you. I see something in you probably I've never seen. And so I'm going to call you rabbi, and I'm pursuing you. And guess what? Listen, Jesus knows why he's pursuing him. He's got some questions that he wants answered, and he never even asked the question, which is more telling of the Lord Jesus Christ, who presented him with a truth that was dealing with what was on his heart. So here's the Lord saying, listen, you know, listen, Nicodemus no doubt wondered whether or not he was going to enter into the kingdom of God. And Jesus says, I'm going to meet you there. I'm going to tell you, I'm going to reveal what's in your innermost heart. Do you think the Lord can do that? I'm going to reveal to you your problem. Ooh. I'm going to reveal to you your need. Do you know that people don't want to know their problems? People don't want to know their problems. People just want to make believe like everything's all right, don't they? I mean, that's the natural tendency of mankind. Everything's all right. It takes a work of God to bring us to the place to where we question, is there something wrong? Listen, I was all right at the age of 24 before I got saved, before I met this fella, Aldo, who I was training. I was training him. He started asking me some questions. And I told him, I'm not interested in that. I know what life's all about. I know what I've got in my mind. I know what it is that I'm after. And then he had the nerve to say to me, well, after you get all that, then what? After you do all that, then what? And I, being, you know, the smart man I thought I was, obviously, ultimately, I guess I'll die. I thought that would be the end of the conversation. And then what will you do? What do you mean? And then what will I do? Where will you spend eternity? And God opened up my heart, and I saw myself as a man in great need, a young man who did not understand what was to follow this life, who created in my heart and mind a wanting to know what does happen after this life, who made me aware that whatever it is that happens after this life is a whole lot longer than what takes place during this life. And only God can do that. Long story short, God convicted me of my need of salvation. But I would have never, I think, entertained that thought on my own. Oh, I did. Passing, you know? So what happens after this life? Well, if there is a God, and I did believe there was a God, I came to this wonderful conclusion. God's going to weigh all my good and all my bad. And since I'm not in jail, I must have a whole lot more good than bad. Since I'm not considering or never really considered, you know, I might have said I'll kill somebody, but I don't think I've ever really meant it, right? So God's going to weigh, I mean, obviously, you know, I've done some good things. So God's going to take all those things and weigh them out for me, and I'm going to make it. I'm good with that. Was I really good with that? I would have split hell wide open had I died without the Lord Jesus Christ in my ignorance. In my ignorance. And so would this man right here, if God didn't do a work in his heart that caused him to see something that he had never seen before, that caused him to understand there was something missing in his life. And so Jesus says, I want you to know, except you're born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. So Nicodemus says, what is that? Are you telling me that a man, when he's old, is going to enter the second time into his mother's womb? But that was his understanding. I don't pick up any sarcasm in Nicodemus' response. I pick up, as smart as he is, he was genuinely asking a question to the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord dealt with it as a serious question. You know why? Because salvation is serious with God. It's important to him. Fathom that thought, that you and I are saved. It's important to God. How important is it? It's the whole purpose of life. He gave us his son. So let's see what this is all about. Born of the Spirit, the second birth, being born again. So Nicodemus asked the question, how can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, verse 5, verily, verily, that's important. Truly, truly, I say unto thee, listen, except a man be born of water, he understood that, and of the Spirit, that means there's two births. He didn't understand that. You've already been born the first time physically, but there's another birth that needs to take place that has nothing to do with your physical mother, but has everything to do with God. Let me say that again. It has everything to do with God. Not you and I and God. It has everything to do with just God, not us, but to us, right? All right. So Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Now listen, he begins to explain That which is born of flesh, of the flesh, is flesh. So that's a fleshly birth. And that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. There's two different births. The Lord is wanting him to understand those are completely separated. They're essential. Of course, the first one is, but so is the second one. And they're different. He says, that which is born of one kind is that, and that which is born of something of the Spirit is completely different, removed from the physical birth. So he wanted him to understand that. And what does he say? Verse 7, marvel not. See, the Lord already knew. No doubt, listen, Nicodemus was marveling. He was like, I never heard that before. Listen, I never understood that before, and yet it was essential. And yet, listen, may I tell you this? David knew what it meant to be born again. And all those who were saved knew what it was like to put their faith and trust in the promised Messiah of God. And the change that God brings. How do I know that David knew that? Because you can hear it. When he went out against Goliath, and everybody was shaking in their boots. Sandals, whatever they were. He understood. And he said, listen, just like the Lord delivered the lion and the bear in my hand, he's going to deliver. Did he know that it was the Lord's work? He did. How about Joseph? Did he understand it was the Lord's work? When the brothers, after their father Jacob died, after Israel died, the brothers come to Joseph and said, oh, listen, be kind to your servants. Your father did say, you know, be kind to them, forgive them. And Joseph wept. He said, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good, to spare you and your children. You think Joseph understood who God was? Absolutely. Do you think, listen, Nicodemus missed it. He was properly, religiously educated and missed it. And so he was talking to him and wanting him to understand. God was wanting him to understand because he was pursuing the Lord. Because the truth is, all those that will truly seek God will find him. And so he says, don't be amazed, marvel not, verse 7, that I say unto thee, ye must be born again. Now, he begins to explain this. I want you to understand. He says, the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whether it goeth. And you know what? He would say, yep, I see that truth. I understand that. I can see the action of the wind in the leaves. I can understand that, and it's true. I don't know where it's coming from, where it's going. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. And that's capitalized again. And this is a truth that he is revealing to Nicodemus, because Nicodemus is truly pursuing God. And guess what? We know that he helped Joseph of Arimathea bury the Lord's body. There's no doubt in my mind this man got saved. But here he is, before that takes place, wanting to know what is going on. And so he says, the Lord says, so in the bottom of verse 8, is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Now listen. Look at this. Look at verse 9. He asks, and this is the last point, how can these things be? Listen, it's not making sense yet to him. But he still wants to know. Listen, he asked the first time, can a full-grown man enter his mother's womb again? He's asking questions. That's a good thing. He's not saying, nope, I've heard enough. I can't hear you anymore. I won't hear you anymore. No, he's asking, how can these things be? The last thought here. So what does Jesus say to him? Listen to the Lord's answer. We find the ruler's question. I want you to see the Lord's answer. Remember, this is the master of Israel, right? He's Nicodemus. He's a master of Israel. And he's asking these questions because he does not have eternal life. What a sad commentary. Listen, be careful who you hear and who you're listening to, because they might proclaim themselves to be a theologian and be in the same place as Nicodemus, and they don't even know the Savior. They don't even know the Savior. Let me tell you a tall tale sign of somebody who doesn't know the Savior and professes themselves to be a teacher of the Word of God. Well, are you trying to tell me that Christianity is the only way, believing in Jesus Christ as your Savior, is the only way to eternal life? Yep. And they'll say, well, I don't want to, you know, be offensive or anything. I mean, the Muslims have their way. It's the wrong way. The Buddhist has their way. It's the wrong way. The Mormons have their way. It's the wrong way. And those who believe that Peter was the first pope, they don't even have one record, one iota of evidence that Peter was ever in Rome. And by the way, the first pope came about 580 AD with Gregory the Great. He was the first pope. So how can you have 600 years and Peter was in direct succession? See, it just doesn't line up. You know why? Because it's not the truth. Am I trying to slam all these? No, listen, if they don't know the truth, they won't know to look for it. They're believing a lie. There's only one truth. And it's found in the Son of God, the Messiah of Israel, the Savior of the world, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's it. And I love it because it set me free. And I can see clearly that there's only one truth. Oh, there's not a truth. That's the devil's garbage. Well, you have your truth, and I have my truth. I got news for you. If it's not God's truth, we're all in trouble. It doesn't matter whose truth it is. You know, the person that thinks they're a bird, how well is that going to bode for them if they jump off of a 10-story building? Not well. So it's not about what we think. It's about what it really is. And so Nicodemus is having a hard time. And so the Lord answers him in verse 10. Jesus answered and said unto him, listen to this. Art thou a master of Israel and knowest not these things? You know what the Lord is saying? You should know them. You should have already known. But you know who he was missing? Nicodemus. You know who he was missing? God. Jesus. Oh, but listen, he saw something. God opened up his understanding to pursue the Lord. And so there's a problem. And Nicodemus said, you know what? I don't have a peace. I don't have a confidence. I don't possess whatever it is that Jesus has that he is proclaiming he wants everybody to have. Listen, I have had people tell me that don't know the Lord, I see a difference in you. I see that you get your joy from somewhere else that doesn't come from where the world is getting theirs. I see something, and by the way, I've had them say something about my children at different times. There is something different. There is something different. Didn't the Lord say that we're a peculiar people? Not that we make ourselves peculiar, but that is a work of God. Does that mean that we're perfect? You and I know better. That's why we need the Lord. But we have a different understanding of what the truth is. Because we know him through salvation. Now watch this. He says, you don't know these things as a master of Israel? Verse 11, verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know and testify that we have seen, and you receive not our witness. But are you hearing that? Jesus is saying, I know what I'm talking about. And you know what Nicodemus says? I believe you. That's why he called him a rabbi at 30 years of age. We know what we're talking about, but wait, it gets better. You haven't received it. In fact, you've rejected it. What is that doing to Nicodemus? Really? What have I missed? Jesus is opening him up to the truth. You are missing something as a master of Israel that you should know. And by the way, this is good news because just because you're a master of Israel doesn't mean you all automatically get it. Wait, just because you've been born in a Christian family doesn't mean you just automatically get it. Doesn't mean just because you were raised in a true church doesn't mean that you just automatically get it. All right? So he says, you receive not our witness. Verse 12, if I have told you of earthly things and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you heavenly things? You know what he's saying? I better open up. Now, listen, he could have, Nicodemus could have put a wall up, but he said, wait a minute. I do want to understand what you're saying. I do want to receive what you're talking about. You know why? Because this I know, Nicodemus knew this for sure, God was with him. And if Jesus is telling him he's missing something, then he knows this right now, God's not with him, with Nicodemus. God's not with me. Because Jesus is telling me I haven't received something. Jesus is telling me I'm not understanding something. The one who I know God's with is telling me there's something missing in my life. And he says that today. And so what's missing? You haven't received our witness. I'm telling you, I'm trying to explain earthly things to you. How are you going to understand if you don't understand those things, the heavenly things? Well, I'm glad you asked, because now Jesus is going to say, let me open up your understanding. So here he is, ready? He's going to explain salvation. So he says this, ready? Verse 13, and no man, listen to this, we're getting to the heavenly things, and no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, listen to this, even the Son of Man, who's talking? Is it not the Son of Man? Amen. Where is he at? Which is in heaven. What is that? The author of life is speaking. Let me explain something to you. I was in my late 20s, 28, 29, and I had this fellow in my class as a school teacher. He was sharp. He was smart. I'll tell you this, he was smarter than I was. I could teach him the lesson, but he was sharp. He could just, you know, and praise the Lord, God's using him today as a preacher. But here it is, ready? He was whipping everybody in chess. He was whipping everybody in chess. And I was watching him play, and I'd say, he is good. He's good. And he will beat me. He will beat me. I was just watching him. This guy was thinking, I could think maybe two or three moves, maybe four. This guy was like, he had the game all figured out. Every time, I mean, he was just countering everybody, and I was just like, yeah, he's a good chess player. Mr. Jancho, you want to play me? Oh, no, I'll beat you. No. I don't want to beat you. I'll make you feel bad, right? So finally, it was like the last week of school. We were getting ready for summer break. And we had taken some finals and we had some extra time and Mr. Jancho, you gotta play me. And all the students were like, yeah, Mr. Jancho, you gotta play him. And I said, okay. And I'm thinking, okay, Lord, I guess you want me to learn some more humility here because I'm going to get whipped. And I'm telling you, we must have played for an hour. Not because of him, but because of me. I was like looking at this board and finally somewhere, maybe not quite that long, but I just kind of said, okay. Everything I was doing, he was just like right there. And I don't know what I did, to be quite honest with you. I don't know what I did. But I put him in checkmate. Now, here's the funny thing. I didn't see it. And I'm studying that board. What do I do? It must have lit up on my face when I saw it. And I checkmated him. He goes, that's not right. You didn't even see it until I did that. You know? And I walked away, and I never told him, but he was right. I didn't see it until I made that move. And I thought, oh, how the mighty have fallen. I'm telling you, I would have never played him again because that wouldn't happen again. But he was always a step or four or five ahead. Now, wait a minute. Why am I telling you that? There was maybe it was Star Trek, the old Star Trek, and they had gone somewhere where they were hearing these mosquitoes or flies. They didn't know what it was. Well, then you see something get dropped in their coffee or something like that, and they drank it. And what happened was that there was this alternate group of beings that were moving so fast, but they were dying out. I don't remember the whole story. And anyway, it accelerated them. And all of a sudden, because the captain and I don't know who else were so accelerated, they disappeared. And so, and everybody else on the spaceship was like, they weren't moving slow. They were standing still. And they were just like, you know, lightning. And people would think, oh boy, if I could do that. And so they were like in two different realms. And they were seeing things so far advanced than the people that were in normal time. Then you've also have movies about people manipulating time. You ever see those kind of movies where they're going back in time and now we can manipulate the past, or we can go in the future and see what's going to happen and see which, and then we can come back to the present time and then we can go ahead and win the lottery. I don't know. Whatever they might do, you know, going to invest in all these different things. The only problem with that, we are still creatures of the clock. And that's fiction, okay? I don't believe any of that. But here's the truth. Listen, God is not a creature of the clock. He is omnipresent. Did you hear what Jesus just said? Listen to this. Listen. He says, I want you to know, verse 13, and no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven. Who's that? That's Jesus. But then he goes on and he says this, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. Do you know why Jesus is the ultimate sacrifice? Because he is everything. When God gave us his Son, he didn't just give us somebody that can move around in time. He gave us his Son who was outside of time and who is the Creator. Hold your place right here and let me show you something right here. Go over to the book of Colossians chapter 1 just for a moment. Colossians chapter 1. And I want you to see something here in verse 15. And maybe you've not seen this before. Years ago, maybe early 2000s, I mean like late 90s, 99, 2000, I don't remember. This Jehovah's Witness, he was genuine. He wasn't so brainwashed that he wouldn't listen. And he said, can you show me that? Can you show me in the Bible? And this scripture came to mind. And he said, I have never seen that. Because they think that Jesus is a created being, the Jehovah's Witness. They don't think that Jesus is part of the Godhead. They think he's a God, lowercase g, little God. Oh no, listen. Listen to this. Verse 15, Colossians 1. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. This is speaking of Jesus. Now listen. And by the way, listen, look at verse 14. In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Why is this the ultimate sacrifice? Look at verse 16. For by him, this ultimate sacrifice who gave his blood for us, were all things created. Did you get that? He is the creator of all things that are in heaven and in earth. Listen to this. Visible and invisible. He created them. Whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. Do you think the Son of God shivers at all at anybody who's on a throne? He allowed them to be there. He created them for such a time as this. Listen, do you think he was afraid of Pharaoh not letting Israel go? Do you think he ever thought that wasn't going to happen? He knew exactly that there would be 10 plagues and they would be set free. Do you think Jesus knew that Pharaoh was going to run after them in the wilderness and trap them up against the Red Sea? Do you think the Lord knew? He allowed it. Notice this, verse 17. And he is before all things. Listen to this. And by him all things consist. We would fall apart if it wasn't for him. Everything would fall apart. The consistency of all things. Could God the Father have given anything more? He gave everything in his Son. Through him, all things. Your heart keeps beating. Your molecules stick together and don't fall apart. Through him. And then he says this in verse 18, and the head, and he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in him all things might have what? In him all things might have preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. This is who Nicodemus was speaking with. This is who you and I pray, know as our Savior. God gave us his very best. Back to the Gospel of John, and we'll finish up here. So he's explaining to him. And then he says this in verse 14 of John chapter 3. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Now, Nicodemus knew this story. It was a look of faith. You know what they know? Listen, Nicodemus knew that not everybody looked at that serpent in the wilderness. And so they died. There's no doubt somebody said, well, I'm better than my neighbor. My neighbor, I mean, in fact, I'm even better than my neighbor. I don't need to look at that. They died. It was the look of humility and trusting the word of God and not themselves. Do you know that's the whole key right there? Listen to this. It is letting go of ourselves and looking unto Jesus and what he said, not what we think. He is in control of everything. We don't really believe that. Not really, because if we did, we wouldn't complain. Would we? In fact, we would begin to be led by the Spirit and say, okay, Lord, what are you wanting to do in my life? You rule me. You know what? Today, we enjoy good health. Thank you, God. All things consist by him. Today, I am ultimately, ready? Nobody can take this away. Good day, bad day, I'm a child of the King. By the grace of God, I will always be a child of the King. Amen. By his grace, I'll always be a child of the King. And that's why Paul said, listen, I need to die to myself. We don't understand that. Every time we get mad, every time we want to give somebody what for, we're missing Jesus. We're seeing that person, and we're not seeing Christ. You know, it shows we have little power with God when we complain. Hudson Taylor, missionary to China, he was paid quarterly, not monthly, quarterly. Imagine that. You got your funds for the quarter. And so he came to the end of the quarter. He was working for a physician. And he said, I'm not going to ask him. I'm going to let the Lord. I believe God's in control. And I'm not going to ask him for my pay. He was late. And so anyway, I think he was supposed to be paid that Friday. He was helping this doctor. He himself was in the medical field, and he was going out, and he had half a crown. I really don't know what that equates to in our currency, but he had half a crown, and I think it was half a crown anyway. He was working with a young a mother with some children, and he felt led of God to give her the last coin that he had, and so he gave it to her. And he said, I'm trusting in the Lord to provide because God is in control and through all him, all things consist. And I'm going to prove God by faith that he is going to provide for me. So he starved to death and end the story. No. So he's there Friday and the doctor, he said, I'm not going to say anything to the doctor. And it's at the closing time. They're getting ready to go home. For the weekend, and guess what? The doctor completely forgets. And Hudson Taylor says, I'm just going to trust the Lord. So he goes home. And when he goes home, God's going to provide for me. He gets a letter in the mail that's got money in it. I don't remember the amount, but it was an offering for him because he was preparing to go to mainland China that more than met his needs. And then of all things, he didn't get mad. And of all things, the doctor comes to his house on Saturday. I am so sorry I forgot to pay you and paid him his salary. Do you think he was looking to the Lord? Or did he need to give his boss what for and pay me because you only pay me once a quarter? Where do we stand in our faith? I told you what a foreign exchange student said, that Americans fear one thing: inconvenience. Look at all the convenience stores we have. How convenient. Look at all the things that we have. And if we think these are necessities. They're not. Do you know what the real necessity is that we're missing? God. So very quickly, he says, verse 15, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Listen to this. Listen to the heart of God. For God sent not his Son. Jesus is speaking of himself to Nicodemus. Jesus knows that. Nicodemus now knows it. And says this: for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Jesus is saying, I want you to know something. I'm the Savior of the world. I think that night Nicodemus got saved. It bears out in the Gospels at the end when he's there with Joseph of Arimathea to prepare the body for burial of the Lord Jesus Christ. I think he was a believer incognito for whatever reason, because he was a Pharisee and maybe didn't want to, I don't know what he wanted really, to be quite honest. We're not told. But Jesus says you must be born of water and of the Spirit. Is that true in your life? Because if not, God gives you an opportunity. Not me. I can't do anything for you. I can preach the word. I can't bring you one iota of your need to convict you of it. Do you know that? I cannot convict anybody, but the Holy Spirit can. I cannot save anybody, but Jesus can. All we can do is point them to the Lord. But if you stand in need of that eternal life, God's the giver of that gift. And you can ask him and he'll give it. No doubt. But let me ask you this. As a saved child of God, listen, are you a possessor of that life? I didn't say you weren't saved and weren't born again. But do you possess the life of Christ? Does it have free course and reign in your life and mine, that people like Nicodemus can say, I see God in you. I see the witness of the grace of God. I see the difference that God can make. Or does the world say, nothing to see here. Seen that before. They've got nothing. They don't have anything more than what I have. Because all we do is cry and beller and complain. God must not be real then. So here's the question this morning to the believer. Is God real in your life on a daily basis to where you possess not the world's joy, but God's joy as he's promised? Didn't he say he was going to give that to the disciples? Not the world's peace, but his peace he gives. Are we possessing that peace? If not, listen, he's promised it to you as a believer. And all we have to do, listen, is seek the Lord in that. Ask him. We think, you read Matthew 6:33, when he says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. He is not talking to lost people. He's talking to the saved. And then he says, then you don't have to worry about your food and your clothing. That's what the heathen do. What are believers worried about today? Food and the clothing. That's the flesh, not the spirit. God says, I'll add all these things that you need that you can't get in the world, beginning with him. So today, God gives us an invitation that God might be glorified in our lives. The choice is ours. Would you stand? As we prepare for the Lord's invitation, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne this morning. We thank you, Lord, for your word and for your spirit and for the understanding that you bring and desire to give to us as we seek you. You've promised, Lord, that if we would seek you, we would find you. And Lord, that you would change our lives and that you would give us the things that only you can provide, beginning with your peace and your joy. Lord, your life in us and through us. Bless the invitation. Lord, I pray that you would do a work in our hearts and minds as Northwood Baptist Church, that we would be a faithful bride and found, Lord, waiting and watching when you return. May we realize the hour is short, Lord. So much is taking place. And it appears more and more as things go crazier and crazier, just as you've promised, Lord, that the world was going to become more and more wicked, that your return would be soon at hand. May we be people who take you at your word wholeheartedly, and may we seek you with all of our heart, mind, and soul, that we might truly experience you in our lives and the world might see your witness. Bless the invitation, for we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.